Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 75, Episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, March 26, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. If you're Jackieing, you know it, clap your hands. If you're Jackieing, you know it, clap your hands. If your name is Jack O'Brien and you host the Daily Zeitgeist, if you're Jackieing, you know it, clap your hands. It's courtesy of Andrew Thomas. Yeah, where were the hand claps, assholes? Well, I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
This one's a little bit shorter, but... Red, red miles, gray close to me. Man, I love UB40. The first concert I ever went to was UB40 and Us 3 at the Universal Amphitheater in 1992.
Did you see Brett and Squee there?
Yeah, Brett and Squee. Brett Kavanaugh was there, just smashing beers in the back. But I remember the first time I also smelled weed, and I think I saw my dad hit a joint, but then he told me it was a cigar from a guy he knew who was at the show that was his friend that I had never met before, and he didn't want to introduce me because it was in the middle of the show, and it would take too long to explain to me what happened.
So you know anyway, how that always goes.
Yeah, you
people
know how that goes.
People passing cigars around at the UB40 show.
Because I was like, it
show. Smells
weird. He's like, that's cigars.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Anyway, but that one is from @SoltisHannah, so shout out to you for that beautiful AKA.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian and co-host of the Throwing Shade podcast and TV show, Brian Sappy.
Hi.
What's up, man?
Thank you
so much for joining us.
I used to, my very first concert was U2, and NWA and the Sugar Cubes opened for U2.
Whoa.
Which was crazy. And it was my very first concert, and I told on everyone when I smelled it. I went straight to the security guard. I was like 11, and I
pointing.
Was like, excuse me. And the security guard was like, you are so lame.
Right.
Didn't do anything.
Right.
Just, it was
like,
really.
I'm actually going to arrest you so you can learn something real quick. We don't like that.
Yeah.
Wait, NWA
believe
and
it.
The Sugar Cubes?
The order was the Sugar Cubes, NWA, and U2. It was like U2's... whatever, Zootopia or something tour. Yeah.
Wow.
Zooropa. But that would have been...
Zootopia is a movie, right?
It's an animated movie.
Wait, and then that was when...
Die Hard fan.
When Bjork was in the Sugar Cubes?
Yeah, she was still in the Sugar Cubes. Maybe she
Holy
had already
shit.
Done her debut album, but was transitioning.
Wow.
I don't know.
This sounds... What city was this in?
El Paso, Texas.
Holy shit.
All the good shows stop by El Paso.
Yeah, that's true. GNR and Faith No More.
I would love to have that tour shirt.
I know. I can't believe
that lineup.
I know.
Out Loud sounds just hilarious.
And I had maybe heard like one U2 song. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was just like not the target audience for any of those.
Well,
things.
Plus you were too busy narking on everybody.
Right. Yeah. You're just there to make sure nobody got away with any bullshit on your watch.
Not for a second.
Yeah. You have like a homemade U2 shirt with marker, but it's spelled YOUTOO.
Right.
And you're
right.
Like, yeah, I love U2.
I love
as well.
U2.
They rule.
They're great.
Fellow drugger.
Me too. Well, that's not. Yeah.
All right, Brian, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners just a few of the things we're talking about today. Apple announced like a whole universe of products.
So many things.
So we're going to talk about some of those. We're going to talk about an update on the Abrams-Biden ticket that we had talked about last week. An update on Michael Avenatti, what he's up to, and just continued... reflections upon the Mueller report as summarized by the Attorney General. But first, Brian, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, well, my search history, the last person I searched was Carla Gugino.
Okay.
Gugino.
The actress.
Yeah. So I was watching, I don't remember what show I was watching, but there was a preview for Entertainment Tonight, and it was Troop Beverly Hills' 30th anniversary.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. And Carla Gugino was a little girl in that.
Oh, shit.
And I had no idea that she grew up to be Carla Gugino. Like, I just remember her from that movie, and then I Googled her, and I was like, wow, she really made something of herself.
Yeah.
It's nice when you see a child star really make it.
Yeah, not just sort of crash and burn, which happens a lot. Were there any other people who made it out of that cast?
Jenny Lewis, the singer
Lewis. Okay.
Was in that, and then those were sort of Tori Spelling. That was her first movie.
Okay.
Was that
okay.
I used to love that movie, and they've tried to remake it a few times, and then it just like gets stopped.
Yeah.
Wait, what is the movie?
Troop Beverly Hills. It's like
okay. It's
like a Girl Scout troop in Beverly Hills.
Got it.
Yeah. And it was like one of those that's like was a huge flop at the box office.
Yeah, right.
And then just was rented constantly.
And then like on the Disney Channel.
Exactly.
Forever.
It was like Clue or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
She was the daughter and son-in-law?
Oh, she was?
Holy shit.
I have to say, she looks great.
Yeah.
I had no idea that she was the daughter and son-in-law.
Well, co-starred with Pauly Shore in the 1993 romantic comedy Son-in-Law, so she wasn't the Pauly Shore character. So she must have been the romantic lead. I don't remember that movie in great detail.
Oh, I do.
That is a movie I somehow saw so many times for no reason.
And like, well, in like during a bad hangover, if it's streaming, I'm like, maybe this will help cure my ills. And then I watch it and I'm like, oh no, this is so backwards. Horror.
It was actually the worst of his.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The worst of Pauly Shore.
Love Biodome.
Yeah.
You know, love Classic. Biodome.
Yeah, way better.
That's with the Christian Baldwin, right?
Yes. Steven.
Yes.
Steven. What is something you think is underrated?
The Wendy Williams Show.
Okay.
I thought her coverage of the cheating scandal was the best of anybody. I actually think she should be on Late Night because I think she just rides the line of like edgy or not. And also, she did this whole thing this week where she was like, hey, I need to be honest with you guys. I've been living in a sober house.
Yeah.
And I go, right. And I just thought that was great. I get most of my news from PBS NewsHour and all my pop culture news from her.
Wow.
There you go.
I think she's
great. How you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, she's very open and honest. I remember when she was like, who hasn't smoked a Woola? And I was like, ooh, okay, Wendy.
Wait, what is a Woola?
Rolling up crack in your blunts?
Like, oh, for real?
Yeah.
There was some actress, I can't remember who it was, but she does say things that certainly cross the line and are just bizarre. Like, she was profiling someone who had just been diagnosed with diabetes. And she goes, are you mad that they have diabetes? I mean, I don't know if I'm mad or not. I don't think I'm mad. And it was like, why would you be?
Are you mad that they have diabetes?
Like, all right, keep thinking out loud, Wendy.
I love her opinions. And I don't know. I think she's very refreshing. She's an outsider the way like Stern is. Like, just tries to stay outside of it.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. What is something you think is overrated?
Game of Thrones. And I watched the first season fully. Yeah. And everyone's like, you have to give it a shot. I gave it a shot.
Right.
I didn't hate it. It just absolutely isn't for me. And I don't understand the mass appeal of it. I only understand it as like a niche thing. I don't understand how it ever crossed over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you watched the whole first season. Wasn't it as part of a show? Or were you on
My friend Aaron, who does Throwing Shade with me, created Gay of Thrones with Jonathan Van Ness.
Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I've only since then have watched the episodes where I've been on the show for.
Right. Okay.
I don't think it's bad.
Yes, right.
It just definitely isn't for me, and I'm constantly surprised at the number of people who it's for.
Right. Yeah.
Because people across the board, you know, and obviously people I love and respect and admire and whose tastes I completely trust, I guess it's just a blind spot for me. I don't know.
I think you have to like, do you like the fantasy genre?
I don't, but so many people who don't love the show.
Right. And I have a feeling it's, for me, it's like, see, they're taking the word like Lord of the Rings could have took it with like wild, nasty shit. Yeah. And I think that's really what it is. It's like, we're not used to seeing the fantasy world. It's usually kind of sterilized a little bit.
Yes.
But now it's like, you have just the darkest shit happening.
Right.
And I think it maybe it's scratching an itch in that sense of like, mapping like just dark shit in like on the fantasy genre on TV.
And I like creepy shit. Like I just saw Annihilation and I loved it. I love stuff like that. I just can't
really
get
good.
Into couldn't get into it.
Yeah, well this is just like overt like violence and like just like crazy incest. So I don't know if people are tuning in for that, but I think as I watch it, I'm more like I've just become dependent on it.
Sure.
So now I just have to see it through. Because it was losing steam for me a little bit as a viewer, but now I'm just like, I'm too deep now. And I'm like, well, I got to write this thing off to the end.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like part of it is driven by the conversation that people are having about it, but
maybe.
The conversation isn't that good.
But yeah.
It's just like, did you see Game of Thrones?
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
It's like, oh, that was fucked up, right?
Dragons and shit?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That was fucking sick.
There are also so many meetings I go to where I just pretend to like it because it's like everyone's favorite fucking show.
Right.
And I'm like, I know.
What's your default line for not seeing an episode and someone goes, oh my God, Brian, what did you think of last night's episode?
Oh my God. I just think, honestly, like, she's killing it. Like, she's... like she's such a fucking badass at this point.
I know. Yeah. It's crazy just like where she started at the beginning of the show. Where
unstoppable.
She's
and so well acted and so well done.
Yeah, see. Yeah. That's why I fuck with Brian. He's down with the Thrones.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess like the thing that I liked mostly about it is that it has like vibes of like what history was like actually like how gritty and like awful history was. But then like the sort of fantasy side of it, I'm not that interested in. So now as it's like sort of gone you're in closer it for the
historical
to that.
Shit.
Right, which is no more like realistic.
Meanwhile, I'm like, I'm
admirable.
Here for the fucking dragons.
Right.
And titties.
Well, the dragons I like too, but that's from history, right?
Yeah,
we can
I
all
mean,
agree on that.
Yes, I mean, that's how, you know, St. George, the St. George's cross, that was his miracle, right? He slayed a dragon.
He did.
But
and every depiction of it, the dragon looks like a lizard.
Yeah,
I mean, it's so
right.
small.
It's like, I think he stepped on a snake by
just
accident.
Really high.
Right. Oh, he slayed that dragon.
I know. Brian, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Oh, okay. Well, I sort of have two here because I'm not a real myth buster. But when I was a kid, my brother's older friend David told me that when I turned 13, I would pee out of my butt and poo out of my penis. And I legit, I'm not kidding, until I turned 13, like,
oh,
was
wow.
waiting for it. I was
right.
sort of excited about it by the end of it.
Right, like, right. This will be weird.
It yeah. didn't happen. Wow. The other thing that I don't know to be true for myself is that the zipper, the little square on the zipper, you're supposed to lock down onto the zipper chain. Like, the flap of it has a little square at the end of it. You know, like a little hole?
Right.
You're supposed to press it down into the zipper and it locks the zipper. Did you know this?
That's true?
Yes, that's true.
What?
So it's nothing I can prove wrong. And then you can hear it. You'll hear it like click in and that prevents your zipper from sliding down.
Wow.
I don't, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like this
Yeah.
The rectangle.
I wear button fly, so.
Ugh, see?
So
you
cool.
You don't have to deal with this
yeah.
myth.
I mean, I stopped wearing poor people jeans a long time ago. That sounds really cool.
Must be neat for you guys.
All right, Mr. Varvatos.
Does Dragon Bone do buttons and zippers? Anyway, I don't know. But that sounds great.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh man. I'm really thinking about just how, like, these
And I think
so many
Levi invented it. Like, it was just one of those things that, like, has a use that... That actually has a use. And I thought that couldn't possibly be true, but it is.
But it's not YKK, the company that, like, really has the zipper game
on.
Oh,
is that true?
Yeah, like YK. If you look, most of your zippers have, like, YKK, like, stamped on it. And it's, like, this one company that is...
Illuminati.
That runs the zipper gang.
Yes.
Yeah.
The YKK group is a Japanese group of manufacturing companies. But yeah,
had
basically
no
all zippers have YKK. Yeah,
zippers have many messages and meanings and uses.
Yeah, exactly. It's about coming together. Are we stronger when we're together?
That's right. You know,
what happens when we... There's so much going on.
Oh,
really.
Man.
Just look below.
All right, guys. Let's talk about Apple. Let's talk.
Okay.
Gwyneth
Paltrow's daughter?
Stepped in and distracted America from their Mueller woes with their announcing of a bunch of different shit. Whole universe of Apple products.
Which is actually funny, because when you look at what's trending on Twitter as we record this, I haven't seen one thing with the word Mueller or Trump or Russia.
Nah.
It's
is
just
that true?
Apple, Oprah, Michael Avenatti,
right.
Nike. And we'll get to that later.
Okay. Yeah.
But I guess that makes sense. Everyone wants something they can think is real and is coming.
I didn't dive too deeply into this, so what are they releasing?
Okay, so... Hold on.
Oh,
so you just buckle up, Brian, because
okay,
here
right.
we go.
Right.
I mean, I think the main things was the, well, everyone knew the streaming service was coming, so
yes.
they had all those people up. But well, let's talk about the first thing that I thought was interesting was the Apple Card. They're doing a credit card now. So basically, it's integrating with Apple Wallet, and you do all your purchases through there. There's no fees. You get cash back. If you want a physical card, they give you like a laser-etched titanium card. So if you really want to flex on people, pull out your Apple MasterCard. And I think a lot of people are also pointing like the security features because it will actually vary the security numbers. So it'll be very, very hard to actually have someone use your card fraudulently.
So your number changes from moment to moment?
I can't remember exactly what it is. It's that or the CVV number will change.
Huh.
But that'll be dynamic. So there's one thing that will always be dynamic. So even if you have one or the other, you need like your card and your phone to fully... you know, make purchases with it.
Right.
And I think my first thing was like, oh, they talk about how they'll actually like organize your purchases so you can see how you're spending your money and where it's going to kind of help people consume more, you know, responsibly or however you want to. And I was like, oh, well, so it's free because they're taking the data. But they're saying that none of that actual information will be transmitted to Apple servers. Like all that sorting and filing happens on the handset itself.
Most credit cards have that functionality now.
Right.
Where like they'll sort of, it doesn't do anything for me though.
Yeah.
Like just sorting.
Sort of,
and,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sort of like, you know.
Do you have something you spend too much money on that the app goes, Brian?
Well, I'll tell you, my only real weak spot, I don't really spend money on much except if I'm on a vacation, I'll splurge on hotels. I love them.
Yes.
Which is why I'm an Amex member, because you get those fine hotels and resorts bonuses.
There you go.
So if Apple has an incentive like that, like a travel incentive.
Well, there's big no on the international fees, and they're trying to eliminate most fees, essentially.
So. But can you build points towards something? It doesn't sound
well,
like
you get
it.
Like 2% cash back.
Okay.
And then 3% if you buy Apple products. So oh. I think those are the rewards so far from okay. my like cursory skim of the announcement.
I see.
But yeah. Is there another credit card that doesn't have any fees? Like that doesn't have a...
I can't think of one.
Yeah, that's... I mean, it just basically, it seems like the only way this is feasible for them is because they want people to get in the habit of spending money through their phone, basically. Right?
Sure, yeah.
And just like enter the game of credit cards.
And make things easier for you to like, if someone else has an Apple card, then like, you know, sending money back and forth is even more seamless.
Right.
You know, but I sure.
But I mean, the way credit card companies make money is usually through the fees, right?
And the interest, I guess.
Right, yeah. Interest, yeah. And then, but we were talking about how they, credit card companies now regard themselves as data mining companies,
right.
essentially, because they just sell your information to the highest bidder. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
It seems all trade.
It seems like yeah, one of those exactly. things that's too good to be true, in which case it always... is too
yeah
good to
we'll
be
see
true.
I think as things come up we'll know, but I once people saw that card, I feel like all the memes are about people with their titanium like Apple card.
Oh, definitely.
So yeah, we'll see. Yeah. There's also the Apple Arcade, just a subscription game service. Okay, fine, not necessarily for me, but some people, great, good.
Got yeah, your, not for me either.
Got your arcade. But it was the TV Plus thing that everyone's talking about, because over the last 18 months, like, everyone and their mother has been like signing deals with Apple, and we're like, for what exactly?
Yeah.
And then this thing was like the like Hollywood show and tell fest. We're like, now welcome Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon to the stage to be like, and here's our show. Like Jason Momoa and Alfre Woodard came out for their show and asked people to close their eyes because their series has to do with people who can't see or something. So very, you know,
oh,
next 4D.
Level.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. That's like right? William Castle. They're going to like put out candy smells if we're something. What I don't understand is, and I don't know if this was true or not, but you know, people on these shows were saying that Tim Cook weighed in on every show, like had creative notes for these shows.
Oh, boy.
Did you hear this?
That would be very frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, like, they had like Apple people there,
right.
like on the tech people, like on the sets of these shows. Get weighing in creative.
Yeah, wow. Well, yeah. Better place to get notes than from someone who's like just used to not content creation or writing at all.
I know. I really think that their plan is just to shut all these other places down completely, right?
Well, they're not exactly going directly for Netflix's throat, so to speak, but I think this is probably just a first step to see like, okay, how many people can we like lure into using our service? Because it's also using like, you know, you can get... There's a subscription plan where you can have like CBS All Access or HBO and all these
right.
other things. So if you're cord cutting, this might be a, you know, appealing option for you. But then, you know, Tim Cook had to do it to him. Said, oh, wait, I have one last guest. Fucking Oprah comes out. And everyone's
Whoa.
Like just on their feet applauding. And she's like, you know, she's out here in full Oprah mode. She has two documentaries coming out or working on. One is exploring the impacts of sexual harassment in the workplace called Toxic Flavor. And the other is about mental health and how the trauma of loss is devastating lives around the globe.
She doesn't want these on her own?
No, I think they probably gave her the funding to do
sure.
it on a level that she was like, oh, I don't have to come out of pocket.
Yeah.
Like, why not team up with Apple
yeah.
to do this?
Yeah.
And then Steven Spielberg also has a show coming out.
What?
Yeah. Where I'm like,
didn't he just get so pissed in Netflix?
Yeah.
Where he was like, oh, and this is my show. We're rebooting Amazing Stories. I'm like, I'm sorry, the guy who was trying to flame Netflix for, whatever.
Yeah.
But this is a TV series specifically that he's rebooting, right?
Right.
So he's not going to, he's safe in terms of being a hypocrite about that.
That's true.
Like.
He fooled us all once again.
Do you remember the show that he's rebooting? It's called Amazing Stories.
Yeah.
Which is a very on-the-nose title for a TV
yeah,
show.
That...
Amazing Stories.
Yeah. I've never heard of it.
Yeah. I think it was like an 80s show that not a lot of people watched.
Yeah, he created it in the 80s. So just doing his own thing.
He created it?
Yeah, it was a show that he had created in the 80s.
It was like a Twilight Zone.
It says, yeah, it is an anthology that drifts between fantasy, horror, and science fiction, akin to newer shows like Black Mirror, Netflix. But its format is near identical to The Twilight Zone. CBS All Access.
I love that he had one thing that no one knew about, and he's like, I'm doing it again.
Right. Yeah.
Now you're going to know. Like, it's clearing the deck.
Yeah. Maybe now you'll appreciate the genius of amazing stories, because the stories were amazing.
Steve Carell came out, Kumail Nanjiani, Big Bird.
Yeah. And a lot of people were like, his voice is different.
Big Bird's voice?
Yeah, well, because
he was nervous.
No. The person who did Big Boy's, or Big Bird.
Big Boy. Big Boy.
Andre 3000. Carol Spinney left Sesame Street like in the last 2 years or something.
Right.
So a new performer is now doing it. And you know, people with those voices, you could kind of hear like, that's not my dad's voice.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I know that one. But when you look at some of the past stories from Amazing Stories, it was like on some Black Mirror shit. There's an episode called Remote Control Man. A man has a remote control that brings characters out of the TV.
Ooh. I have to be honest, I never tire of those kinds of things.
No.
I'm always on board for that kind of, for that genre.
Yeah, anything that will make me feel more paranoid as I watch
exactly.
it high, I'm like, ooh, no. But okay, let's keep going.
I need to be rattled.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard Big Bird's voice change was actually a note from Tim Cook. Just
yeah.
Like, Big Bird's voice is all wrong.
Hey, why are you talking? Tim Cook had never heard it. He was like, why do you talk like that?
He's like, ugh, you're so annoying.
Hold on. Can I give you a note? Can you just speak with your regular voice? This feels really contrived.
Hey, kids.
Yeah. Hey, it's me,
Big Bird.
See,
sounds
now,
like now.
Now I'm not put off by
you. I can relate to you. You sound like my parents.
We have a list of some of the notes that Apple had for some of their shows. It seems like Tim Cook really wanted all of this content to be so, like, beyond family friendly, which I'm not sure how you do with the content in Oprah's documentary, but, you know, we'll get to that later. There was a thriller series written by M. Night Shyamalan, and that is a show being held up. Because I think there were crucifixes that were making Tim Cook a little uneasy. They had to basically completely can a show about Dr. Dre because it had like cocaine use and people were drawing guns. So Tim Cook was like, mm-mm-mm-mm.
Oh, so it's like all PG because it has to reach like everybody who uses an
but
Apple device?
Like, hey, Dr. Dre, like why can't your story be like some really sleepy suburban town white kid growing up rather than who the fuck you are? But like,
Well, I remember when Netflix sort of released Numbers the first time. It was like Fuller House had the biggest like it was those family shows that were killing it.
Oh,
right?
That's interesting.
And I wonder if Tim Cook is just thinking like, yeah, what you just said, Jack, like broad appeal,
right?
Yeah, I guess that's the problem with Apple is they've been such just a hardware company that when they go into content, now people are gonna be like, oh, this is what you stand for content.
Right.
I just liked when you made the square that lit up and I would scream at.
Right.
I don't like anything else.
Yeah. Right.
Well, this could be tricky.
Yeah.
Unless it's like the greatest family content ever, but with like...
What if the nation just rejects profanity after it?
Right.
We love these shows so much that we're like, this is how you clean up
like,
your act.
This is the new high bar.
Yeah.
You know? We should all aspire to reach it.
That's right.
That's interesting. So they all their notes are like one direction, are going in one direction.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not the band.
Like the band.
Although I feel like he would probably approve their lyrics.
Yeah.
Pretty clean.
Mm-hmm.
And then just with, we were just bringing up Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon's show. They paid $12 million per episode, but they said this program was delayed because Apple, quote, wanted a more upbeat show and took exception to some of the humor proposed. This has to be so fucked up for the writers to be like,
God.
I'm sorry, what was the, so, and then you're just like, so they don't want a funny show?
Yeah. Right.
What do they want?
Especially working for something or... I think the idea that for creative people, at least behind Netflix, when you take a show to Netflix, Hulu, all this, is that you can't take more risks.
Right.
And so this is like this is CBS.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. And then you have Tim
think
Cook.
Think CBS like, and then reel it in a couple times.
Yeah.
We don't want.
Think Scientology Media Productions.
Mixed with Sinclair Broadcasting.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And we talked last week, Miles, about a potential Joseph Biden, Stacey Abrams ticket that was being bandied about in the Beltway.
And couldn't have laughed harder
right
when we first heard about it. And I think we were waiting because we were like, Stacey Abrams, the way she gives interviews sounds like Joe Biden would be the last person on earth she would want to run with. And we finally have heard from Stacey Abrams. She was like, no, there was, you know, I'm not running with him. She's like, but she did say, this is a quote from her, Vice President Biden and I had a lovely lunch. And we talked about food and we talked about, we talked about the presidency and what it means. And then she said, we talked about whether I was thinking about running. We talked about whether he was thinking about running, but we did not have that conversation. And everything else is pure speculation made up by somebody else.
Okay. Well,
that sounds like her being polite was like, this motherfucker thought I was going to run with him.
Right.
And I had to be like, hell no.
Yeah. Right.
You thought I forgot about you talking to Anita Hill?
Right.
And I'm just going to hop on board the Biden train?
Yeah.
But then she did in a very polite way because, like, it's so vague. Like, she's like, look, I mean, we talked about the presidency and what it means. What it means, where he was like, I really feel that you and I could probably do that. That's what I think that line means. We talked about whether I was thinking about running. Hey, you thinking about running?
Right.
You want to run as my vice presidential running mate?
Hmm? Whether he was thinking about running?
I'm thinking about running. Would you like to run with me?
Right, right.
And to say we had a lovely lunch feels a little bit like she's using that euphemistically a little bit.
I think so.
Yeah.
We had a nice lunch.
Because I don't think he's hitting her up. He's like, hey, Stacey, let's grab lunch. And let's just talk in real vague.
Yeah, and mostly just about food.
Yeah, right.
That was another one, right?
Food.
Because, the way it struck, we had a lovely lunch, and we talked about food. And that's her first one. And then she goes, and we talked about, we talked about the presidency. She's like, oh, no, this doesn't sound even
believable. Let me level. Yeah.
We talked about food. Like, for instance, the waiter asked, what do you want to eat? And we told him.
Yeah.
And that was part of the conversation.
Commented on our dish. We shared. It was small plates. We shared tapas.
Yeah, I really love this new gastropub vibe. really liking it because you can try a bunch of little everythings.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and I think the other thing to keep in mind is no one has ever just been like, hi, I'm running with this person in a serious campaign. Like, not someone as serious as Biden would be. Right. It's just not.
I remember last ditch, but everything had already pretty much ended when Ted Cruz said that Carly Fiorina was going to be his right. But that was like at the last second.
Yeah,
it was like a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is like him trying to.
When you're throwing Hail Marys in the first quarter?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right. It's a little desperate.
Yeah, because I think, again, what we were saying is, he's clearly going to have to answer to a lot of his voting record when it comes to incarceration or these other things. And again, the treatment of Anita Hill is something Stacey Abrams talked very specifically about in interviews, about how when she saw that, she was like, this is not right. This is what's wrong with politics. So, you know.
And he is probably the candidate, with the biggest paper trail and is the least fresh.
Yeah.
And she is the opposite of both of those
things. And they're like, ooh, maybe that'll cancel her out and he'll be like a middling candidate.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Yeah. I'm just glad she came out and, made it clear for people because there was a lot of speculation going on. Mm-hmm.
There was a Emerson poll, I guess, over the past week that has Biden still leading the pack at 25%. Bernie Sanders at 24%, mostly notable because Pete Buttigieg was in the third spot with 11%, and then Kamala Harris at 10%. Elizabeth Warren at 9%.
Man, a month ago, he couldn't even get his name up in there.
Yeah.
So, he's had some strong showings between those town halls and just other interviews he's been doing.
Yeah.
Beto O'Rourke at 5%. That seems pretty low.
Well, let him, do some skateboarding tricks on a diner counter and we'll see those numbers go up.
He is just nonstop jumping on things.
Like, nonstop, just making sure his wife knows her place. He's really just.
Just do some like Rodney Mullen skateboarding tricks, like a tricks tape.
Right.
And that'll probably help.
Yeah.
Again, it's just so early. Like, we don't know what so many people's platforms are and what they're really trying to run on that. We'll see.
There's a kid that I went to college with who always needed to be higher than everybody else. If you were in a room, he would start standing on the couch or something. Like, he just needed to be the highest person. I think he was a little short, and maybe that had something to do with it. And thing, he would stand on the top of a truck or something.
He'd sit on the roof of the truck while everyone was in the bed.
Yeah,
he's gathering around.
Climb up on a fence. It was just this weird, a thing we noticed sophomore year. And then every time you saw him, it was like, hey, he's climbing that thing right now.
I know,
now.
You start like, trolling him, where like you get on the highest thing in the room, and he's like, yeah, exactly. Fuck, what do?
But I do wonder, does Beto have that, or does he just think it's like a cool look for him to like stand on something, I mean, be like the man of the people?
He seems like he doesn't worry about where he is height-wise in relation to other people.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he just needs like a stage just so everybody, maybe it's important that everybody can see him,
because
if he's standing in a crowd, the shorty's in the back.
Right.
Can't see this beautiful face.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
right.
And if it were a TV show, the network exec would be like, people like it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing
it.
They're talking about it. Even if they're not, even if they're making memes.
He's definitely gotten some like good notes on that.
Yeah.
Like,
although the memes are starting already with on counters, but hey.
There's literally.
There's memes about everything these days. It's the meme economy.
You couldn't do anything that would be nothing but positively received with no memes, with no backlash memes.
Right, exactly.
Michael Avenatti. Is approximately as shady as I think we all started to suspect by the end he was.
Yeah, once the other cases started coming in, like real murky stuff about like something going on with his ex-wife and like other weird deals, like there was a fallout with like Stormy Daniels. I mean, we were always saying like, based on in the beginning, we were like, yo, this guy's fucking amazing. Like,
hold on.
He's just as shitty as the president, and we'll just talk that shit on the news.
Right.
And then like as it went on, I was like, this guy's either the dopest dude ever or the biggest piece of shit ever who's just like knows how to fucking work the fucking, you know, the optics game. And it looks like he's the shitbag, professional shitbag.
Yeah, it seems like it. So he has been accused of basically trying to extort Nike, the company Nike, out of $20 million. He said he knew about a scandal that was involved, you know, high school basketball and college basketball, like big names in college basketball, and Nike, like basically funneling money to high school athletes. Who knows? That sounds entirely possible. But rather than, you know, going public or trying to bring this information to a journalistic outlet, he decided to go to Nike and say, hey, if you don't pay me $22 million, we're going to let this shit rip.
How huge. Like, that is really how the heights of his ego reached.
Right.
Was he was like, I'm going to blackmail Nike.
Right.
The That's motherfucking insane. Nike.
And as the swoosh lands on his skull.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he was like, even the talk was like, he's like, I'll fucking take billions off your market cap. Watch what I can do. And I think, you know, he gassed himself up over the last 18 months. And, you know, he found out there are limits to the heights he could fly.
I think we had a sense that he had an outsized opinion of himself when he started talking about possibly like exploring a 2020 run.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And I feel like everyone pretty like unilaterally was like, absolutely not.
Yeah, go just away. Stop that shit right there. Yeah.
Go back to being a fake race car driver.
Yes. Go on TMZ. Scream. Yeah.
Right.
Well, and then also, but not only that, then he's caught up in another embezzlement scheme too.
Yeah, there's.
So it's not just like he got hit with like two cases in one day.
Yeah, so he apparently defrauded a Mississippi bank by submitting false tax returns in order to obtain loans totaling $4.1 million, which he allegedly used for his coffee bean business. and there was also a thing where he was accused of negotiating a settlement for $1.6 million to be paid in January 2018 and then using the funds to pay expenses for, again, his coffee business. So he's just really in this coffee game.
He's like, in what kind of business is he upside down on with coffee right now?
Exactly. I saw him one time and I almost said hello, but then decided against it because something even better happened. He was sitting at the top of a hotel here in LA. Joan Collins passes him by and says, hello. And he goes, hi, how are you? And I was like, I can't believe that happened. I mean, that's the beginning and end of the story.
Right.
But it was like,
that's amazing.
Yeah, Michael Avenatti, he thinks he's up here.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And apparently so did I. I was there too. I was a real imposter.
And you were trying to extort Nike also at the same time.
Right.
I was the one who told him, I was like, listen, I can't do it. You could do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You should try this, man.
Try it.
This is a slam dunk.
Fail proof.
Yeah, because then when you also look too, right, even with the fallout with like the William Barr Mueller thing, he was tweeting about like what, like how the country has to beat Trump, right? And he's like, to all Dems, this is a tweet from like, you know, late last night or, you know, early Monday. To all Dems, from now until November 2020, we need to have one overriding focus: the nomination and election of a candidate who has the unique skill set, okay, Liam Neeson, to beat Trump and end this dumpster fire of a presidency. It's all about who matches up best against him. The weak need not apply, which is kind of him advertising for himself.
Right.
He's always been like, I'm a street fighter, man.
And also, shut the fuck up. There's no such thing as electability anymore. If we learned anything in 2016, it's that this doesn't exist. Don't predict that.
Right. And I think, you know, but Michael Avenatti, the devil knows his own, because he's out here doing the same kind of shit about being like, hey, let me pump up my numbers so I can get this bank loan.
Right. So
it's true.
Yeah, they're from the same.
He would be a great campaign manager that would later go to prison.
Yeah, right. Maybe he should just work for Trump.
He should.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like if Manafort hadn't been employed by Trump, this is probably what Manafort would be doing right now.
Yes.
It's just openly talking shit in such a way that he could make money off of it in some sort of scam.
But you know what? We'll know, because Tuesday at 11 Eastern, he will be telling the world about Nike's skimmings and scammings.
Ooh.
Well, I mean, he says this criminal conduct reaches the highest levels of Nike and involves some of the biggest names in college basketball.
Huh.
Damn.
Interesting.
Yeah, to be clear, though, he was arrested for those charges, for the extortion charges, I believe. But as we record this, we don't know what kind of bombs he has dropped, if any. That would be so funny if it's just big nothing.
It always is.
I know.
Yeah.
But then it would also be funny where he really does just be like, wow, okay, shit.
So speaking of big nothing, maybe, potentially, the Mueller report, as interpreted by William Barr. Miles, you had some thoughts on this.
I mean, you know, just as much as we can have thoughts on right now, just to bear in mind, just before you watch Fox and watch them just burn the studio down with their partying, because it's so lit over there.
Right.
This is a summary of Mueller's report from a man who is hell-bent on not charging a president with obstruction of justice by any means.
That's Barr.
That's William Barr. Because, again, what we have is William Barr's very narrow summary or his conclusions of what the Mueller report was.
Right.
And right now, again, you go on conservative media, you look at the president's Twitter, you look at Sarah Suckerface Sanders' Twitter, it's all like total exoneration.
Right.
No collusion. Again, the collusion part is a very narrow kind of collusion that they were talking about, even in William Barr's summary, which is about the hacking element of the election, not the other things that we see where we're like, because their whole thing was no one hacked or no one coordinated with very specifically the Russian government.
Right.
Which is very different than like WikiLeaks or something else.
Right.
And those are the things that people need to also bear in mind before you either, you know, get so down about it or are acting like the president did nothing at all. And again, even in the summary, it says, now, while there wasn't enough here to bring charges or what we felt were sufficient evidence to charge the president, this does not exonerate him either.
That's on the obstruction of justice.
Yes, that's on the obstruction
on the
charge.
Collusion, they basically said there's no direct evidence. Say that they looked everywhere there should have been evidence. There was no evidence that he conspired with. So,
and yeah. I think that was probably just luck. I think that was literally like Russia being not saying, you know, not actually inviting him to do that.
Right.
Or something that it was just like rant, because he probably would have. But also, what drives me crazy about the Fox News thing, and like, boy, I should have learned this lesson by now, is this whole lead up has been, this is a coup, this is a witch hunt, get ready for war, this is all lies.
Right.
And then it's released, and they're like, we knew it. And it's like, well, no, you didn't trust this for a second.
Right.
Yeah.
The whole time, we're like, they're out to get him, they're out to get him.
Right. So,
and Trump's like, Robert Mueller acted honorably.
Yeah. It's like, you have done nothing but tell us not to trust the Federal Bureau of Investigation. All of a sudden, it's reliable.
Right.
Fuck you.
And that's the, you know, my more out there conservative friends are like, well, now we have to investigate the FBI. And it's like, so your theory is that they put together this giant conspiracy to launch an investigation that cleared him. And you think the Democrats, like, were colluding with them or something?
Deep state.
Deep state that couldn't even do the thing you said it was trying to do.
Yeah.
So is it? Well, then what do you make of that?
I mean, Matt Taibbi, who is not a conservative pundit, he's a pretty respected investigative journalist from Rolling Stone, wrote a pretty thorough and brutal takedown of how the mainstream media went about reporting the Mueller investigation and covered some things that I definitely, I was like, oh, they walked that back? Like, different aspects of the report, like the idea that Russian bots were intervening on behalf of Republicans, Roy Moore in Alabama, like that wasn't a true story, but that was like something that had come out and been sourced in a lot of mainstream outlets. And basically his point is that they would report the story whenever some small thing that seemed to confirm the dossier happened, and then they would walk it back 7 weeks later, but you wouldn't actually hear about the walking back of it. And so it was sort of a uneven playing field, essentially. And I mean, his point was basically that we have these two, we have the Democrat media, Republican media, and the Democrat media never checks itself. And
right.
So that's something that's been very clear about the Republican media for a long time. And they're much more coordinated, so it can be a little bit frustrating because they have no self-awareness. Their only thing is like accomplishing the mission at
right.
hand. But his point is that the Democratic media, in specifically in the way that they covered the Russia investigation, seemed to kind of succumb to the conservative media's
standards
of just, you know, being sensational. Anytime something came up that sort of led you to believe that this might be true, you would put that on the front page. And then when that ended up not being that fully fleshed out, you would then kind of put that on the
quietly
fifth page.
Retract that.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Oh, yeah, we fucked up about that.
So,
well, I mean, I think also too, for a lot of people, especially on the left, like the Mueller thing might as well have been like a QAnon thing for some people on the left.
Yeah.
Where they were like, oh man, you don't even know. It's fucking Mueller time.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was always, I was like, no.
Yeah.
Y'all, that's like in movies. The kind of outcome that you think is going to happen,
yeah.
That's in movies.
Yeah.
And we have a lot, the bigger problems, you know, are the damage that's being done with his presidency. And I think, I hope, you know, this doesn't turn into the Benghazi for the left. Because I think there's a lot there to investigate, but don't put that at the forefront of everything you do right now. I think there's plenty of time to begin actually looking at everything. First of all, get the motherfucking actual Mueller report so we even know what he found and what the scope was, because we don't know how narrow or broad this, you know, this whole investigation actually was. But I think in terms of how the voting works, again, we said this in our little special pickup episode, but voters don't care about the Russia shit.
Right.
You know, and I think when you look at the midterms, people were winning off of messaging around healthcare and like economic equality and things like that. They did definitely. There are people there who definitely got in as like a, you know, a referendum on Trump. But there were also people who were able to use that energy and not just make it so myopically about because Russia.
Right.
And I think that's something. Yeah. You don't the Democrats don't want to slip into being like trying to still figure out this Russia piece, because in the elections, that's a thing that they're saying Trump could use as a strategy or as a cudgel, is just be like, well, this is the party who kept focusing on Russia.
Right.
They wanted it so bad. They're still doing it. Look at them. They've got nothing. They don't care. When you can hit the president on so many other things than
right.
just this.
Literally everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And I can't remember in Barr's summary, did he say why Mueller didn't exonerate him for obstruction?
Did he
go into it, really? I can't remember.
No, it was just merely that he was, you know, said that Mueller presented arguments for and against charging for obstruction, but ultimately did not make the decision. He let Rod Rosenstein and William Barr make that decision,
yeah.
Which is weird because they might as well have recused themselves considering the writing William Barr did prior to him being confirmed as attorney general
right.
and Rod Rosenstein being a witness to some of the obstruction with the firing of James Comey.
Right.
Right.
So it's still even like... whatever. Just get the real doc out so people can actually see this and stop sort of speculating, because it's just, you know, people are running wild right now.
I think we had a guest on who said that they had a conspiracy theory that Barr was actually like doing all of this to like get in as a Trojan horse, and then he would take Trump down from the inside. Same as a lot of people thought Mueller, even though he was a Republican, was going to take Trump down from the inside. And that turns out not to have been true. It seems like they
were... No, that's more fantasy shit.
Right.
Yeah. And I think even when he said that, we were like, oh, okay.
Right.
But deep down, we're like, the guy who was like helping the, you know, get the Iran-Contra shit swept under the rug is now coming in to sweep some other shit under the rug.
Like, right.
He's the rug sweeper.
Yeah. So it will continue to unfold, but hopefully, you know, people who aren't in the Trump supporter demographic are able to kind of regroup and get their focus back to things that actually affect
people's
lives.
Because otherwise, what sucks is like the optics of it also are sore loser. Like, figure this shit out, like you said. Release the report. Figure out why he wasn't exonerated quietly.
Do that under the
And then release it when it's ready.
Right.
But yeah, don't. We can't focus.
Every
on
day
it.
Can't be a quote from a Democrat being like, "Well, we need this." And and while they do. I think there's ways, I mean, and that's the hard part, right? Because you need public support to create some pressure to get that done.
Yeah.
And then how do you balance that without looking like, you know, Trey Gowdy 2.0 on the new Benghazi mission?
Yeah.
So, you know, again, I think one thing I'll give the GOP, they will win the award for people who don't know what the word exonerate means.
Right.
So, at least they got that.
There you go. All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. What else is happening in the world today, Miles?
Pierce Morgan, man.
Yes.
We know. Look, he's an epic pile of shit.
What?
We know.
Pierce?
Yes.
My Pierce?
And he's a stain on all people who support Arsenal, too. That's a whole other thing. But he got some hot gossip out the Spice Girls world. Okay? Because apparently Mel B and Jerry Halliwell hooked up in the mid-90s.
What?
Yes. Hold on to your butts. Okay, here we go. Quote, this is from an interview that just came out. This is Piers Morgan talking to Mel B. Did you or didn't you with Jerry Halliwell? Did you sleep with her? Mel B. Yeah, we all slept in a bed together, but not like that, all of us, the 43-year-old singer replied. Piers, did you sleep with Jerry like that? Mel B. nodded and smiled and said, she's going to hate me for this because she's all posh in her country house and her husband, but it's a fact. It just happened, and we just giggled at it, and that was it.
Huh.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Also had no idea that Jerry Halliwell was living a posh life.
Yeah, she's married to some Formula One boss.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so she's out here. And then there was like some side gossip. Apparently Mel C was in the audience too, like when this was happening, and acted like she wasn't gonna get involved in any of this gossip.
Was Mel C baby? Which one was scary? Which one was baby?
Mel B is Scary Spice.
Scary. Yes. And Mel C was
Mel
baby.
C is
oh no,
sporty.
Mel C is sporty.
Emma Bunton. Is baby,
baby
Spice.
Okay.
Huh.
Anyway, so when Mel C was in the audience, this was, I guess, for Piers Morgan's show, Mel C goes, I don't know anything. Because Mel B, like, looked at her right after she said, she's like, come on, girl. And she was like, I don't know anything. And then Mel B goes, oh, whatever, Mel. Mel C says, this is all new to me. Piers asked Mel B if there was anything with Mel C. And then Mel B replies, well, when I got my tongue pierced, we all kissed. But that was just a kiss because I wanted to know what it felt like. It was just a silly kiss. Nothing sexual like that.
Hmm.
And this is coming.
She seems to call sex silly.
Yeah.
A lot.
Like, it was just giggly, silly. Yeah.
Just
silly
stuff. It was just a silly.
Because they were all living together in the same house, apparently, like once, you know, the group was having to like do a lot of work or whatever. But Jerry is not happy with this because it's causing friction with her husband who does not like it. Apparently, it says, and I don't know, this is again more gossip, but it says, since marrying Christian, her husband, Jerry has worked hard to shake off her old playgirl image and sort of reinvent herself as this perfect Stepford wife. Mel immediately rang Jerry to try to repair the damage because they're about to go on tour.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I guess maybe they had a different reputation in the UK than they did here because I don't remember thinking of Jerry Halliwell as like a playgirl.
Well, she posed in Playboy.
Oh, she did.
I think she was one of the first ones to pose in Playboy.
Oh, I see.
And was pretty like sexually liberated or whatever. Okay. So I think maybe that's what it. Yeah, but I'm not ever like, oh, yeah, Jerry, come on, we're trying to rehab that image,
right? Yeah.
But
wait, she is sporty.
No,
Jerry.
Jerry's Ginger.
Ginger.
And she was an ambassador at some point. I can't
there
remember.
There was just a Ginger Spice.
Ginger Spice. Yeah,
it always stood out as shocking.
And it was very strange. And the woman of color was scary.
Right.
So hop on board.
Wow.
And sporty seemed kind of coded too from LC.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
This whole version of, wait, why is it coded that she's...
Well, she dressed like a tomboy.
And there were rumors that like, well, but I don't know if there were rumors, assumptions maybe that she was gay.
She was gay. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
But she might not be. But again, this is all the nicknames were not very useful for them.
No.
Because I don't know what was scary about her. Must have been her curly hair. That curly ethnic
she definitely
hair.
She had like a more aggressive personality than I think the other Spice Girls. Like she was more in your face.
Yeah, I guess you always had that animal print on.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know, scary. What? Like everyone has like a
fine terrifying.
It's
Miles.
Like there's sporty. That's neutral.
Right. Yeah.
Ginger. Okay.
Baby. I'm a sexy baby.
What's a baby spice though? Like yeah. If it was on a rack, like what's? Let me put some baby spice on there.
I think it's like baby powder. Right?
Ugh. Terrible.
You don't put that on your food?
No.
Yeah. So it sounds like behind the scenes, it's exactly what the horniest 12-year-old boys were like hoping it was.
Right. Yeah.
It was just all of them sleeping.
You gotta
in
get
a
with
bed
my
together.
Friends. That was probably the headline everywhere.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this seems like just very shrewd branding on her part.
Sure. People tell Piers Morgan I remember when I can't remember the actress's name, but Kim Cattrall went on his show in the UK, and that's when she was like, Sarah Jessica Parker's a mean person, and I don't want anything to do with
right.
her. And people were like, what?
Yeah.
People spill their guts to him.
Yeah.
What is it? Because he's such an objectively shit character.
I know. And no one
so
you really...
So trustworthy.
Yeah, just like itchy and yeah.
Maybe he presents like he's like... He's basically making like a safe space for messiness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he just exudes that where someone's like, I feel like I can get messy as fuck with Pierce.
Yeah.
Right.
And somehow it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But then you get these like earth-shattering revelations.
I know.
Yeah, a lot of people's heads were spinning.
I wonder if the Sex and the City cast is America's Spice Girls. Like it's
honestly
seem, like,
probably
similar like who are you? Are you a Samantha?
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Did people ever say that with the Spice Girls? Yeah, I guess so. Everyone picked a Spice Girl.
Yeah.
I was posh.
Yeah, you were definitely posh.
Mm.
Yeah.
I loved Victoria.
I actually have never even associated anyone else with a Spice Girl,
Thank you.
I just know the second you walk in a room, that guy's posh.
That guy's posh.
So,
yeah.
The way he bends that leg for poses, he sticks his finger out like
Yep.
Doesn't sing.
Yeah, doesn't, cannot sing.
Just right. Quietly mumbles in the background while yeah. other people
Not even mic'd.
Yeah, right. can't even. Can't even dance.
There were moments where she wasn't even holding a microphone.
Right.
They were just like, we're not even going to pretend.
Yeah. They're like, people of the world. She's in the back. She's like,
yeah.
Yep. Man, that song, though. What a great song.
Oh, they had a few that were great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Spice World.
The box
great
with.
Film, too.
Great film.
Had it all, man. Aliens?
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
All the fucking aliens in that film.
Were there?
I forgot
yes.
about that.
Some
that
shit's wild. Come down, and they're like, but the aliens are like horny though too.
Oh,
and that concert at the end is rousing. When they
yeah.
sing "Spice of Your Life" at the end, it is like you're on your feet.
Yo, people of the world,
yeah.
they
spice
save
up
the world
your motherfucking
from
life.
Horny aliens.
I don't know if they save. I don't know if the aliens were an existential threat. I know
no.
at one point they come down and they were smitten. I could be projecting their horniness of
right.
the aliens. Where I was like, man, if I was these aliens, I would be so horny if I met them because I was 14 when that shit came out. Anyway.
Isn't that what Dude, Where's My Car? The like revelation of that was aliens
oh,
too?
Oh, yes. They're,
well, hold the fuck up.
Or a
spoiler
cult or something.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah.
Spoilers. That has to do with aliens?
I think so
I
at
think
the end.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or a Hail Bop situation. There was something
oh,
weird
God.
At the end. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like
they
Marshall Applewhite.
They
Marshall Applewhite's like, hey, do you want to hang out at my place?
Come right. to Rancho Santa Fe.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
It's like your car might be there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we always like to check in with the box office after a weekend, and the results are in. Jordan Peele's new movie, Us, is the biggest original live-action movie since Avatar. So, like...
Wait, what do you mean?
It made $71 million, which is the most of an opening weekend for a movie that isn't, like, some
Based
existing property, like, isn't, like, one of the Marvel movies or something.
Right.
And isn't... Like a Pixar movie, basically.
Holy
so
shit.
Avatar was the last one that just blew up like that.
And it's crazy to think that, like, Jordan Peele on his, well, I don't know if this is technically his second movie, but on one of his first, you know.
I think it is his second.
It is, okay. Yeah. Is, like, people are going to see a movie based on who the director is.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's also funny, I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to go see it this week. But, like, how people are already trying, like, everyone is like, it's just a horror movie. Yeah, this
right.
is like
right.
Get Out. Yes, Get Out was a little more psychologically involved. They're
right.
a little like, and then all the people trying to like parse through, like fucking Breitbart was like, this is actually a great warning against socialism.
Right.
Like, what? And he's like, and if that family just had guns, the problems would be solved.
Right.
Uh huh.
But I'm not even sure what that means. But I guess everyone's taking into it what they need to get out of it.
I have to say, he after Get Out, I started expecting more from my horror movies. I haven't seen Us yet, but I did start, like, I remember seeing A Quiet Place and being like, but what did it mean?
Yeah. Right.
Do you know what I mean? And I'd never had that expectation before, but Get Out was, like, that good.
Yeah, because I think that's what made it even better, is that it worked on you more than just, like, the, oh, shit, what the fuck was that?
Right, yeah.
Like, horror shit, you're like, oh, this is a fucked, like, this is a headspace.
It was the smartest movie that came out that year, and I don't think a horror movie had done that.
No,
because horror movies are always so just like visceral. Like,
right.
The best horror movie to that point, I think, by a lot of people's estimation, was The Exorcist.
Well, I don't know. Did you see Turistas?
Oh, right.
2006.
Go Home.
Oh, yeah.
Great film.
Where those kids with Olivia Wilde, I think, was in that. Josh Duhamel, where they're like on vacation in Brazil.
By the way, Olivia Wilde made her directorial debut at South By with a movie called Booksmart that is supposed to be really, really good.
Okay, so awesome. People are doing their things.
Yeah. But yeah, Us is not only critically acclaimed, but it is just a huge, huge opening. And our writer, J.M. McNabb, was pointing out that like all of the media's headlines were like, shocking how much money it made, because I guess all the estimates had it closer to like $40 million, maybe $50 million. And they usually don't go, they're usually not off by more than like a couple million here and there. And so it was a big surprise, apparently, to forecasters. But he was saying that you saw the same headlines with Black Panther and Girls Trip and other movies that, I don't know, like there's something that is surprising to Hollywood progress.
A lot of dots right now.
Right. Some strange similarity between these movies with black protagonists that Hollywood prognosticators are always like, what the fuck just happened?
It's insane. Yeah. Because I actually think they don't see the path. Because it is, you're right, it's the headline every time is like, who knew? It's like, we all did. We've known. Everyone knows.
Just more representation.
Make the movies.
People will come out to see them. They're like, oh, wow, a thing that I can relate to?
Yeah.
I'm there, even if it's a fucking horror.
There's always so much fucking pressure for any movie that has anything to do with any marginalized group of like, this better be a hit, and then it isn't, it didn't matter.
Right.
So hopefully now they see a fucking pattern.
Yeah, you would think so. And yeah, we talked just with the Sony hacks. You saw these emails with producers talking about how you shouldn't greenlight the next Denzel movie because black doesn't travel and shit. Like, there's all these like rules of thumb about
Like international.
Yeah, like internationally, Denzel Washington movies aren't going to do very well because they're racist, not us.
No,
Denzel's one of my favorites. Oh my god!
But, you know, I wrote him in for president.
Right, exactly. I would have
don't know that.
I would have voted for Obama a third time. Mm-hmm. But he, there's all these like just shitty, like behind the scenes rules of thumb that are based on nothing. And then now here we see that when you actually make movies by people of color, starring people of color, people actually go see them.
Right.
Yeah.
And look, Jordan Peele, man.
Jordan Peele is out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. The New Yorker called it a towering cinematic achievement.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
I know, I really want to see
it. The New Yorker.
The New Yorker never likes anything.
Yeah.
They're always, and then when they do at the end, they're like, I don't know if I'd bother. And it's like, right. Okay.
Anthony Lane is my favorite prose bitch of all time. Yeah, Anthony Lane is such a bitch.
So snarky.
I know. And finally, and for no real reason, Domino's has added a feature where you can order pizza from your car, which I thought that you could already do via the
smartphone.
Yeah,
I don't know. Look,
is it just hooking up the smartphone to your?
It was such a weird headline. I was like, "What do you mean?" It's like Domino's is making it easier to order pizza. I'm like, "How?" Like they're gonna read your mind? But it turns out they're collaborating with this company called Zevo that just does automotive tech. And the platform will now allow customers to order via their car's dashboard touchscreen or place a call to their local store while they are stuck in traffic. With the push of a couple buttons, they can then track their order and arrange pickup at their local Domino's location.
A lot of work.
Yeah,
this isn't news, guys.
I know, but it was almost like, what's the problem it's solving?
Yeah. Right.
How is this better than the phone? Like, are you ever like, oh, shit.
Right.
I'm in the car. I can't get my phone out because I respect the laws of not using my phone when I drive.
Can't pull over. But can order pizza via...
They wanted to be out there. Domino's wanted to be in the news.
Yeah.
I guess that helps if, like, I think their only thing is maybe just to be so aggressively front and center. So even if you get in a car, your car is being like, do you want Domino's? Because you can get it with just press this fucking thing and you can have the delicious, delicious crap pizza.
Crap. Come on, man.
I mean, it's you know what we're talking about. It's chain trash pizza.
It
doesn't mean it's bad.
My favorite trash
pizza. The best
pizza.
Of the trash pizzas.
Yeah.
You know?
Is it really?
I like that. And look, and I'll also give Domino's or Pizza Hut pan pizza.
I love Pizza Hut pan pizza. Because
that shit's so greasy.
It is. It's delicious.
It's like straight butter.
Yeah.
Literally butter.
Yeah, just greased up.
Brian, it's been so fun having you, man.
Thank you.
Where can people find you, follow you?
I'm just at Brian Safi. It's Brian with a Y. On everything, and then Throwing Shade comes out every Thursday.
All right.
So you can listen to that everywhere.
It's so good. Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, yeah. This one was from the Madea account, which from, like, you know.
It's like official Tyler Perry's Madea account?
Yeah.
Okay.
What has Madea taught you?
Damn.
I wasn't sure how to answer. And so I enjoy confident. Those movies, but I wasn't sure.
Just
I
really
mean,
had to think.
To burst into What Madea has taught me is if there is anything serious happening, to Kool-Aid man through that wall and make people laugh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all men cheat.
Yes. And all men cheat.
That is one thing Madea has taught me.
That's right. Put up with nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. A tweet I like is from Megan Simon at MySpace Megan. It says, someone on Instagram asked to buy nudes from me, and I was so offended. I'll say it loud, and I'll say it proud. I only send nudes for free to men who have tricked me into thinking we have an emotional connection.
That's great.
And Hannah Boone at Boone Comedy tweeted, someone told me they're combating depression, and I'm like, whoa, that's rad. I do whatever mine tells me to. And Jen Merritt tweeted, men really be like, I know I've never said anything nice to you, but that insult I just gave you was a joke, which you should have known, you idiot.
Fabulous.
Oh, shit. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
This one is a news track from a producer named Sango that I've played before. Does a lot of sort of Brazilian samples and beats. And this track is called Ritmo Novo from Sango.
Novo.
Yeah, so check that one out.
All right. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. And we'll talk to you then. Bye.